Welcome to Confessional. I'm Kayla Shelton, along with Mike Moran.
Tell us your deepest, your creepiest, your darkest. Confess to us. We won't tell.
So you can tell us anything. No one's listening.
Today's confession. What's the darkest thought you've ever entertained that you're willing to admit here? Have you ever thought about hurting yourself or someone else? Were you attacked by such negativity that it was difficult to face everyday life? Were you shocked that such thoughts could come into your head? Were you ever afraid you would act on those demons, the ones that came to you in your darkest hour? All right, welcome everybody to Confessional. How's everybody doing? I am, of course, here with my amazing co-host, Kayla Shelton. Say hi, Kayla.
Hi.
How have you been?
Okay.
Did you have a good week?
I did.
Okay.
That's nothing really to report on.
Now, you as I am excited about this new Halloween film coming next October. They're releasing it in October. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
No, they used to always do it in August. It was so lame.
But, I mean, it's better that they do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I'm taking an oath to try to stay spoiler-free.
I've already watched the preview. So.
I know, and I'm willing to look past that. If you can promise me you will end it there.
No.
I think we should take
an
oath.
I can say yes, but as soon as the trailer comes out, I'm clicking.
You can block those things.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Yes.
Well, I think we should...
I feel like this keeps getting closer.
We should try to, yeah.
It's
intruding on your personal space. I think we should try to stay spoiler-free. And watch it together and then do an episode on it when it comes out.
Okay. Do you think people would be into that?
Jimmy, you into this?
I'm into it, too.
Okay. All right.
Be a nice Halloween episode. The whole month of October should be fun Halloween episodes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's true.
Right. Speaking of fun, today's episode probably will not be. This is actually kind of spoiler, trigger, warning, alert. Probably one of our darkest episodes thus far. We're dealing with some pretty heavy topics here. And we will try to be somewhat sensitive and not be, total jackasses. And if we are, you can tell us, listeners. You can let us know if we're not being nice.
No.
But our guest today is nice. He is a great Baltimore comedian, really good friend of mine. He runs a show at The Crown called Everything Will Be Okay. Monthly, right?
Yeah, monthly, yeah.
All right. Please welcome to the program... Chris Hudson.
Hey, thank you. I don't mind if you guys are jackasses about the dark stuff.
Oh, we're not talking about you. Oh,
okay.
We definitely won't be sensitive towards you.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Yeah.
Definitely not. And anything you want to plug real quick or talk about up top before we get into it?
Well, you mentioned the Crown Showcase, which is usually the last Thursday. Everything will be okay.
Uh-huh.
5-year anniversary, end of July.
Of the show?
Yeah.
You've been doing that show 5 years?
5 years, yeah.
I feel like you just started it.
Oh, well, thank you for not noticing for 5 years. That's really nice of you.
No, it's just that time doesn't exist for me anymore. It's just like everything happened last year, it feels like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, for you.
Right.
Yeah. But before that, other people were achieving.
There was a world.
I don't see how that affects me any, but all right.
I feel like that's just short-term memory loss. Or long
sorry,
term.
What are we talking about?
Or long term.
congratulations on that, Chris.
Thank you.
What lineup do you have for the 5-year anniversary?
5-year anniversary. It's going to be a doozy. It's on the.
It is going to be a doozy.
It's going
to
be a doozy.
That is confirmed.
Is confirmed doozy.
Okay.
I've already.
We do have doozy confirmation. All right.
Yeah, I actually locked down.
I just want to be real clear on that.
I actually locked down yesterday that it was going to be a doozy.
Okay. Okay.
And then we confirmed that.
Right.
It's going to be on the 26th of July.
All right.
We've got Brittany Carney coming up from D.C.
Very good comedian.
Yeah. We have Ryan Nazer.
Okay. Okay.
Coming
very
down from...
Frederick, right?
Yeah, Frederick. And we have Umar Khan of Gin and Jokes fame.
Okay.
And coming down from New York, we have Abby Rosenquist.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she's really good. She's on the up and up.
Nice.
And so before
she... Was she headlining?
Yeah, she's going to be closing it out.
Okay.
And it's going to be good times.
Well, good. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
So today, Kayla,
yeah,
we are discussing darkest ever thoughts that we've ever entertained.
I feel like everyone has dark thoughts all the time, just no one admits to them. I mean, certain thoughts are worse than others, but...
Sure, sure. And that's what we're trying to open up about here, is to... Like, I think it's okay to have any thought. Like, I won't judge anybody for a thought they have.
There are certain thoughts that, even if you have and they're awful, just don't tell anyone. Like, really bad.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to do here today.
No, there are certain thoughts that are like, oh, my God.
See, here's my thoughts like that. Like, my skeletons are more just like, the ones that I really don't want to talk about are more just like embarrassing and weird and make zero sense.
Yeah, that's fun.
You know what I mean? More so than like the really bad stuff that I've done or thought about doing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's what we're going to discuss today.
On we go.
Let's get right into our confessions. This one, and nearly all three out of four of our confessions today wish to remain anonymous, which gives you an idea of where this is going to go. So Anonymous from New York says, worst thing I ever thought about doing was selling a story to TMZ or something about an ex-best friends of mine who is fucking a married celebrity. I won't do it, but man, I could use the money and she could definitely use the life fucking with.
That's the darkest.
Okay, that's not
TMZ.
We're going to get a whole lot darker.
I mean, that's if I feel like in that situation, like, yeah, maybe you could do that in this dark thought, but they probably wouldn't believe you.
Uh-huh,
you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, it might not get any traction.
Right. I've got to admit, I've considered doing stuff like that before. Not like heavily considered it, but like taken things that I know could mess with someone's reputation.
You have some celebrity juice?
Not celebrity, but you know, just like local people and stuff.
I think everyone has that, though. Like, if you or have any kind of relationship with anybody, you have deep shit on them.
Yeah.
At least something. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I always think it's just a cheap shot to do that.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. I've had people kind of, for whatever reason, like, sometimes people like talking to me, you know, like they getting things off their chest. And I've had some situations where those people have been, like, crappy to me later. And it's like I could come public, go public, and like, you know, get a little revenge by throwing some juicy stuff out there.
But then that makes you look like a dick too.
Yeah.
Like you want to like make it seem like it would be this big thing.
Right. And I don't want people to feel like I won't be confidential with stuff they tell me or whatever, you know, except for when it's broadcast on this podcast.
Right. I mean, it's good to know that I can confide in you and then treat you shitty later and nothing will happen to me.
Maybe a couple of years of podcast will come out.
Yeah. Yeah. Please just use me. And then when you're done, there's nothing I can do to.
You're just like, my hands are tied. I just can't.
Right. I'm not trying to say I'm some wonderful saint, but I'm saying I have had those experiences where it's like I have dirt on somebody.
You've got
and
being
crummy
you got
to
the
me.
Juice on local
but then
celebrities.
Some other people have dirt on you too.
I mean, I wouldn't say celeb. What the hell is a local celebrity?
Like just somebody everybody would know.
Famous in Remington, maybe. But yeah, I have had to restrain myself. I mean, not like harshly. And I've had situations where it's like, oh, I could like, I could send this person's boyfriend some photos that she sent of me, or you know, like things like that.
Okay.
And I've been
tempted
to do that. I had like one girl kind of like rip me off pretty bad, and just like ghost me, and I was like tempted to be like,
oh,
hey,
someone
ghosts
you, all bets are off. Someone ghosts you. Ah, that's my biggest pet peeve now is the ghosting bullshit.
Yeah.
I get very angry about it. I think it's cowardly and shitty and awful.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Jimmy?
Ghosting?
Yeah.
It depends on what your relationship was prior. I think there's certain situations where ghosting makes sense.
Right.
Like,
If it's like
awfully
terrible and violently.
Like if you're working with like a one night stand situation, yeah, I'd say getting ghosted.
Up to three dates is my thing. You can ghost someone up to three dates.
Really?
If you've been dating for months and years and weeks and you're married and you ghost someone, fuck yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, I've been both sides of it. Been ghosted.
Oh, yeah, I've done crummy things.
I love confrontation, so I'm all about the, we're breaking up now.
That's
what are you
awesome.
Do about it?
I wish.
Because I want the same respect. I don't like feeling discarded like
true.
I didn't matter.
And I do force myself.
I don't want to do that to other people.
Life is a constant struggle to force yourself to have awkward conversations instead of resentments or weirdness. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like the awkward conversation is almost like the key to happiness in a lot of ways.
See, I've gone out of my way to not ghost someone only to find out. Like, I was like, I'm sorry, like, in regards to, like, usually ghosting comes in the main effect when you're talking about, like, dating and, like, hooking up and stuff. I've, like, explained myself why I couldn't, like, talk to them anymore or, like, it wasn't working out. And they were like, why are you, like, taking this so seriously? Like, I don't care.
Right.
So I've like gone out of my way to not ghost somebody and then been like, oh, I should.
Well, maybe
just
they're
ghost.
Just used to ghosting though, so they don't get like being a decent
person.
But I've also been ghosted by friends. Like friends that I've had for years, like girlfriends
Will
just
that
stop
bad.
Talking and you're like, what are, why?
Right.
What happened? You live right down the street.
Yeah, that almost pisses me off more than like relationship stuff. What do you think, Chris?
I mean, I maybe have been I've been on both sides of the ghosting thing.
Sure.
And as far as friends, I feel like everybody goes through different sets of friends, I think, as they get older.
But if someone were to reach out and would you like and just to not say anything back, that to me.
But what
is
if they were a bad friend? What if you were like they weren't a healthy.
Then tell them. I think you should be like, we shouldn't be friends. If you had a relationship with someone, you should be able to give them the respect of, hey, I don't think you're good for my
life
anymore.
There are certain toxic situations where you have to just step the fuck out.
If it's violence or something like that kind of toxic, I get it. But for the most part, it's just people that are like, I'm done.
Right.
I don't feel like dealing
with that's the worst when there's like no real drama or anything. Or like, oh, I just, for me, like it's been a problem because of my not drinking. Like a lot of people get freaked out by that. So I get ghosted on that a lot. And I've had that with like really good friends, especially like when their drinking starts to get bad, you know?
I've been on the receiving end of it. And I've also witnessed my friends and my family go through stuff. And you ghost someone because you don't want to deal with the issues and you're gone.
Right.
You don't deal with the other side of that person crying, staying up late at night, wondering what they did, it affecting the rest of their relationships because they think they're disposable.
Right.
You don't see that side.
Yep.
And I've dealt with it and it's shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have such a strong stance about
good
it because
point.
You don't give a shit enough to know what basically you did to someone.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And I will never change my opinion.
Damn. I was going to go see you guys later, but I guess not.
I'd come back and kill you.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get a lot darker real quick. I'm good. Thanks, man. With a entry from a man named James Williams Vales from Wilmington, New Jersey. This is his darkest thought that he's ever entertained. Murdering a random hobo.
Ooh.
Thinking about how to get away with it, how it would feel to stab them, how to dispose of the body. I could never see a scenario where I got away with it, though. No one is innocent.
Have they tried pig farming? Like, just take them to pigs? Did you try that option?
Well, I think that'd be, you know, how practical. Who knows a pig farm? You know a pig farmer?
I lived in Carroll County.
Do they make a lot of mafia money? Is that, like, how it works?
No, but pigs will eat anything, so usually, like, you just and they'll
they're like
double
Mikey.
The body. Yeah. And we eat them.
Right. So we're probably eating dead mafia
we
leaders.
We might. Who knows?
At some point with her bacon.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, especially with like, you ever get those like 50-cent burritos from the grocery store from like the frozen aisle?
Right.
Where it's like liquid meat and you don't know exactly what's in it.
Yes,
and it costs 50 cents,
yeah.
So it can't be.
You know it's good.
Yeah. There's no way an animal died for 50
cents.
Well, they did.
50 cents.
Yeah.
It could be anything, though.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It could be friends that you thought ghosted you could be in that burrito.
I hope so.
Hope they are. I've always like thought about like not necessarily sometimes like hunting someone,
right?
Just like, you know what I mean, like picking someone and just seeing how far I could get.
Sure,
being right there.
Sure. I mean, I've never seriously considered murdering somebody, but I have gone through the motions of like, well, how could I get rid of their body and like how would that work? How would I get away with it? I've conceived of the perfect crime.
We could eat them. That's the issue.
Right.
Like, all the cannibals, they only get caught because they eat so many people. If Jeffrey Dahmer would have just eaten one person.
You think one person would last a long time, too? That's a lot of meat.
A deer lasts you like a year.
Yeah.
At least, I mean.
What do you think, Chris?
I don't think people are as meaty as you think they are. I think there's a lot of bone and there's a lot of tissue.
Right.
And
well,
stuff
you can make Jell-O out of the marrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
If I may honor the spirit of the Native American and insist that you use every piece of the human, you can make sweetbreads. You can make nice.
So if it's a woman, you can make tons of bread.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that, I think, before.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. Any more thoughts on that one, Chris? Have you ever considered how you would kill somebody and get away with it and dispose of the body? Be honest, buddy.
Well, I mean, there's
you're
a lot.
You're lying if you say no.
I mean, who hasn't thought just at least once about like, whoa, what would happen if
especially
I did
all the TV shows?
Yeah,
you watch this and you're
exactly.
How would I get away with it? Right. I would have done this.
Like, if you were put in the situation where it was like you or them, and it had and like you had to, right? I mean, what you were saying, Kayla, about like television shows really do give you like ideas about how to dispose of bodies, especially like the like Diagnosis Murder and all those like different
like 48 hours or
48 hours, all those different TV shows. There's like like Unsolved Mysteries where it's like for years no one found out and it's like one person slipped up. I mean, even with like Breaking Bad, with like the vats of the vats of like chemicals, and
that
like,
seems to be the best way to go. If you're,
they didn't get super specific about it because they didn't want people to do it. Uh-huh. Like they didn't want people.
Yeah,
to...
I heard they did the same thing with the meth. They didn't want,
right.
Like,
they didn't
exactly how they.
They would fudge the details just so people wouldn't be like, oh, that's the chemical that can dissolve a body. Now I can murder people.
Okay.
Like because you're. Are people really just one step away from being able to murder somebody just because they can't dispose of the body?
I think when it comes to shows like that and big like movies, like people are so obsessed with celebrity that there will be a percentage of people that will imitate that.
Yeah, that would. So you're saying they're one step away from murder? Like as soon as they have
a tiny percentage of the population is yes.
Are we that population?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. No, but like you were saying, Kayla, there's like the pig method, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work exactly?
Just feed a body to pigs and then give it some time. And
And then there'll just be bones left?
Not even bones, like the bones.
You toss the whole body into the pig pen?
I mean, it'd probably be easier to... I don't know why I'm talking about like I'm an expert. Right. I have never murdered anyone.
Sure.
Wink. I'd probably like cut the body up would be easier, but supposedly they eat... everything. They'll eat the bones. They'll eat
and
everything.
The bones? Mm-hmm. Pigs can eat bones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've heard that
and
before.
And they can digest
too.
It, too.
Really?
Like, that's part of why pigs, like, were brought over to America, I think, is because they can survive on anything and will eat anything. I think that's part of, like, Columbus, like, brought a bunch of pigs over. And I think that's what killed a lot of the native population is, like, they had, they carried disease with them that
Americans helped, too. The people helped, too.
Huh?
I said also humans killed.
The genocide was also played a fact. Look, I'm not trying to take anything away from genocide, okay?
Good Lord.
Look.
I feel like you're giving the pigs all the credit here.
The capitalist pigs.
The capitalist pigs, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's why they, in political cartoons, it's like the capitalist is always like a pig with a top hat.
Right. They look so fancy like
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With a little monocle.
Yeah.
Gotta have the
monocle. Yeah. Pig with a top hat and a monocle. Hopefully, if you guys do cover art... for the podcast, that should be it. He's just a pig with a top hat and a monocle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Chris.
Yes.
You have a pretty dark thought to talk about that you've entertained.
Yeah. Entertained as far as like...
Not like put on a little show for
right.
Song and dance,
yeah.
But like that you considered.
Yeah. Like considered to the point of trying to follow through with the thought.
You tell me.
Okay. Yeah.
So what happened?
Well, it had a lot to do with like self-harm when I was in my early 20s. I was like really confused and really emotional, and I think some of it had to do with like some codependency issues that I wasn't like dealing with.
Really? With women that you dated?
Yeah, it was some of it was that, but some of it's also like just people in general because I was like really active on the internet and like different. It was back when like internet forums were like almost dying out. Mm-hmm. Whereas like you know those different
live journals and stuff like that, Zangas.
Oh well, not like blogs, like kind of like forums where it's just you have like different topics and threads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was on the precipice of that dying out, and I it was when I had a few years where I was just like living by myself before I got my cat and was it's
you got your cat and you're saved.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, like animals and pets, I love them. Animals and pets are like really good company, especially with you.
Have you noticed like an increase in your mental well-being?
They make anyone happy.
Brought animals into your happier life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. I mean, it's something that you have to take care of and look out for and that you're solely responsible for. Definitely.
Like, interesting. It loves you like unconditionally, no matter what you do. Like,
exactly.
You fuck up, they don't know. They just don't right.
They, yeah, right. They don't know.
Cats sometimes, you know, I think just tolerate you.
Right.
But they will that's eat why you. I love cats. So
yeah. I mean, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. So it was before a lot of that and I was living by myself. I was drinking a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because I think I had just gone through, like my first few major relationships, I didn't know how to handle, like breaking up or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Cause it was like the codependency thing.
Sure.
So I just like took
It is astonishing how much that hurts at that age.
It does.
You don't expect it to.
Yeah.
What age are we referring to right now?
Like early 20s, like 22, oh, yeah, you know, stuff
it
like
sucks.
That. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause it's, you just don't, you're not equipped.
Yeah, you think you date somebody and then you're like sad or whatever when you break up, but no, there's like some psychological thing that just like gets shredded up inside of
you. I think you're
like,
just not emotionally numb yet.
Right.
Yeah. And then you get older and you're just like, this has happened 75 times.
Yeah, now I just don't expect anything from anybody and it's all fine. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a better way to live.
And especially if you have like codependency problems, you take when that ends, you take it upon yourself
sure.
like, oh, there's something wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
Rather than being like, oh, it was a situation that wasn't working. So I was like drinking a lot, but then I was still trying to help myself. Like I heard running was good for like clearing your head, but I did it the wrong way because I would run and then I would eat. Then I would eat an entire Subway sandwich. I would eat an entire Subway sandwich and then I would drink like a bottle or two of like
Jared
liquor.
Tried that and look where he ended up.
Yeah.
So
I don't think that's too bad of an idea.
Yeah, I don't. That doesn't sound too bad. I mean, that's kind of what I do. Like running to me is, I just do the elliptical because my back is all broken and smashed, but I need to get that cardio just to like feel like a normal human.
Yeah,
it is very important, and it does like release endorphins and
yeah.
and stuff. Right. But I was undoing everything I was doing by drinking so much.
I see,
and it got to a point where I was like living by myself. And if you're on the internet a lot and you're just like living by yourself and you don't really have too much contact, like you're kind of.
You mean like this entire generation? Of
yeah, it can become a little problematic.
Sure.
And so, sure. Of course, that like coupled with my depression, my codependency issues mm-hmm. and stuff like that, it just started into a downward spiral.
Right.
To where I did like attempt suicide once.
Right. And you were serious about it.
I was serious about it.
You were like this. I'm gonna die now. That's my.
I was like going through methods.
I was gonna really? Say, can I ask what method you chose?
I have a feeling all of us have Googled what's the least painful way to kill yourself.
Least painful,
least
right?
Once, right?
Yeah.
It's gotta be the car in the garage,
50%
right?
Of us?
Or car in the garage.
Car in the garage.
That sounds nauseating, yeah. though. I don't want to. That's
also
that's
you're
gross.
Waiting and you're just like, here we
yeah.
are.
Yeah, I don't want to die yeah. like in a Texaco station inhaling freaking gas fumes.
I think
thinking
that's.
About,
I think that's the way to do it.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Texaco. That's exactly what like. Because when you're that depressed, but you're still like mm-hmm. still like emotional and like sensitive,
mm-hmm.
like you don't, it's like you don't, you want the least, you just want to,
right, right.
You want like a clear
yeah,
transition.
I don't understand how people can like jump off of a cliff.
I'd
or
do
something.
That. That's
you
what
would?
I would do. But I've heard that people that have survived have said that they regretted it the second they said.
Yeah, I've heard that too. So, it's
but
like,
I'd want something giant that I could just be like, I've always wanted to skydive, and then.
No, yeah, I, yeah. There was that documentary done about the San Francisco
yeah,
Bay
impressive.
Bridge where they had, one of yeah. the guys said he survived, and he said like as soon as he yeah, yeah like halfway down,
and that's
like,
sad to me because then you're falling the whole time. Like,
yeah, I would think the same thing about hanging. Like as soon as you start.
Well,
choking,
speaking of which, we had two celebrities recently die because of that.
I know.
Right?
Did they both hang themselves?
I think Anthony Bourdain did too.
Yeah,
I know. Kate Spade did.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that's so depressing. Like I don't. I'm not obsessed with like celebrity culture, but it is so depressing to see people that
it affects
seemingly
everyone.
Have made it, you know, like
Even people with money, it's so sad.
No, like, there's no escaping it. That's why I'm just like, all right, this is it. Like this, no matter what happens on the outside, I'm probably just going to pretty much feel like this, you know. So I better learn to enjoy it. But sorry, Chris.
You keep interrupting.
Yeah, and even before that, I think Chris Cornell the same way.
Yeah, was, and yeah. The Linkin Park guy.
Oh, the Linkin Park guys too.
Yeah, but he shot himself. I think
he shot himself.
I think.
I thought he hung himself.
Jesus,
I can't believe there's that many people that have hung themselves.
I almost feel like it's the Chris Cornell thing, like set off a copycat trend.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's not a trend to follow. So.
You mean like a copycat trend, as in the Linkin Park guy did it too?
I think that one was directly related.
You think
didn't
so?
He like do it on his birthday?
Well, they were like friends.
Yeah. For a while,
yeah, they were
though.
Friends.
Linkin Park guy was battling. I think they both were. They were battling.
I'm sure, absolutely.
Well, I remember definitely not wanting to do that because the hanging method, because there's so many factors and there's like knots, and I like barely passed my knot badge when I was a Boy Scout.
It requires a lot of Boy Scout knowledge.
Yeah, and if you get that wrong, then it's just. I mean, how much, you know, you don't want to put that much time into it either.
I did know a guy who unsuccessfully tried to hang himself.
Because the knots weren't good?
I think he kind of set it up so that he could kind of back out of it, you know, because he wasn't sure. He was kind of like leaning into it. And he said afterward he had like the worst headache he's ever had in his life.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, so I went, the way that I planned to do it was sleeping pills, because I heard that could be a possibility.
Sure.
But I also mix it with alcohol because I was like, well, the alcohol is going to like doubly make sure that something happens.
But you got to make sure also you don't drink too much alcohol to throw it out.
But here's the thing. I don't remember if I had eaten a whole Subway sandwich that day because that's what I was doing. Like I was running, I would run and then I would eat a whole Subway sandwich because I wouldn't eat before I ran and then I'd be really hungry because I'm a very small dude. So it's like there's not a lot. You know, you need some nutrition. So when I attempted to do it, I woke up and I was like immediately hallucinating spiders everywhere. It's just like it didn't work. And then I realized that I was still alive.
I say, did you think you were in hell for a second? You're like, oh God, this is hell. Spiders everywhere.
I mean, you know, honestly, waking up in my room and then seeing spiders, I kind of was like, oh, okay, is this just what it's like? Is this what it's like now?
wait, what do you mean? Like, am I crazy now or am I?
Am I just going to see spiders forever now? Did I just fuck something up? Got it? Because I didn't know what happened. And I was really disoriented. And then I just, what was it? I was kind of like. So my dad, he's like a doctor now, but he was like studying to be a doctor. So I was just like, I just like low key texted him just like, hey, what if I took one too many sleeping pills? And I'm kind of hallucinating a little bit. I just kind of put it out like I accidentally.
Right.
Like one pill. Like, cause like I didn't like call my parents. I was like, oh, hey, I just tried to kill myself.
Yeah.
And so he just kind of he gave me a few things that I could do. To kind of like counteract it, but it was like really, it was like I was hallucinating like everywhere I was going, and it was like very real.
Wow.
Just like giant spiders, and like just everything was fucked up. Mm-hmm. And I think it took a few days to like recover
spiders
from that.
Clear out.
Yeah.
Can I pose a question real quick? Did you say you went on a run that day?
I might have.
Okay, because I can't imagine, like, that's the last thing I would do if I knew I was killing myself later is go for a run.
Go for a run?
Yeah.
I was just doing it because I thought it was going to, I think it was like a last-ditch effort see if it was.
Right.
Maybe my mile time went down, you know, maybe it's all worth it. I got you.
Yeah, to see if it was going to work.
Right.
Right, to see if it was going to, like, balance everything out. But it was just like at night I was just drinking so much and just like by myself. Mm-hmm. And
now, were you in your right mind when you made the decision I'm going to do it, or were you drunk?
I was probably drunk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was probably drunk. But it was like something that amplified the depression that I was already in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I thought it was gonna be like an easy like take a box pills, right. Go to sleep. Like, although it was going to be like one of those deals. Mm-hmm. But then I guess my body like woke me up. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah, that's weird how your body just like passes out when something like that happens. Yeah. Like, shouldn't it be the opposite?
Nope,
shouldn't
can't
it be
handle
like
it. Bye.
Your body your body definitely reacts and it right. like fight your body will fight back even if you like in your mind mm-hmm. and in your thoughts, even if you are like done, you're mm-hmm. like, all right, I'm getting up. Your body will fight back.
Hmm.
It will.
So yeah. It's like your body fighting against your brain?
Sort of.
Because I feel like the brain is just like, all right, fine, we're out of here.
Well, it's your
like,
body fighting against anything, the foreign object the that is yeah. killing uh-huh. that is destroying your body. Being yeah. like, no. Uh-huh. Haven't
your
you
body...
ever watched Osmosis Jones?
No. Good never Lord. Seen it. No.
You have to watch it.
Because yeah. your body doesn't want to die.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But why does your brain want to die? Like, why is the brain always just like, bye, as soon as like you get hit on the head or like you get sick or like poison or something, your brain just checks out.
Well,
like,
your brain doesn't.
It's also
die.
Protecting itself. Cause it's
but
like,
shouldn't your brain be like, hey, let's go to the hospital? You know what I mean? Like, it should be like not letting you sleep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your brain doesn't have control over like your decisions. I mean, you have control over it, but
we're
it's not
really
like your brain.
But
you're acting like your brain has like an independent part of it that is going to like self-preserve you.
What? Yeah,
medulla oblongata, dude. Or the spinal cord.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? The stuff that regulates your heartbeat and your breathing and your blinking.
Uh-huh.
I'm not telling.
But it doesn't like have its own thoughts and like try to talk you out of stuff.
Well, shouldn't
yeah,
it?
That's just your consciousness, which is like 5% of your brain.
Uh-huh. That's I don't know. I guess we're getting into like
brain science.
We're all doctors. We're all doctors here. We all know what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Mike's going to bring in the expert in a second with the brain science behind what happened.
Come on out.
I think that's all like safety mechanisms, though. Like the like you're saying, like something falls on your head and you get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like to prevent further head trauma. Like if you imagine like human beings fighting back in the day,
mm-hmm.
like. Getting knocked out's actually a good thing, because otherwise, if you could keep going, then your mm-hmm. brain would get bashed even more. But your brain is like, once it gets bashed hard enough, it's like, we're done.
But if you're
same thing with drinking.
Out.
Like, if you black out, it's literally your body being, stop drinking! We're turning you off.
But if you're knocked out, let's go back to evolution. If you're in a war, then you're just lying there defenseless while somebody can murder you.
Yeah, the
or
Civil
if you're
war,
attacked
they just
by an animal.
On the field, dying for days. That's what happened. You just lie there, maybe unconscious, maybe not.
I know. So wouldn't it be better to stay awake and be like, all right, we got to go get some help?
I think war is
run away from this bear or whatever.
Further down the line development than like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you didn't die, obviously, unless this is some sort of, you know, twist ending movie where this whole thing has been.
It's a Shyamalan movie.
Right. Yeah. And did you go to the hospital or anything?
No, I didn't go to the hospital. I didn't want to go to the hospital because it was like, you know, it's a very mm-hmm. embarrassing thing. Which, by the way, before I tried to follow through with it, I did like call the suicide hotline.
Oh yeah.
And I actually like called them. I didn't call them a lot, but I definitely did call them when the suicidal ideation was like really strong. Mm-hmm. And they were never helpful.
Really?
They were never it was always like I usually got some lady that was like, well, have you tried hobbies? And like stuff like it's like literally stuff
yeah,
like
bless.
That. And you're in your darkest place and they're just kind of like, I could give you the list of some clubs or bowling is fun. Like they're just like giving bowling. They're trying to give you alternatives like, oh, you shouldn't because
well, you might be
you could go bowling tomorrow.
But bowling.
It was not helpful at all, especially when it's like there is a certain point when you call the suicide hotline, there is a certain point where they're kind of like, okay, well,
just do it.
If you keep
just fucking do it.
If you keep feeling this way, you can call us back. But I think we've given you something that you can kind of.
You told me to go bowling.
My work is done here. you didn't do anything.
More.
They do.
Remember
they,
my name.
They do kind of try to get off the phone with you at some point, you know,
sure.
Especially if you're like if you're shooting down everything they're saying because it's you don't find it helpful
right,
to you
right.
and you're having these thoughts.
Right. Yeah.
You know. I mean, there's only so much a person that doesn't know you that is working for a hotline. I mean, and they probably, I don't know if this is true or not, but they probably have some kind of thing where it's like, okay, once it gets to this amount of time, you have to like kind of run down what you've told them so far and then be like, if you have these thoughts, if you keep having these thoughts, you can call back. But
what do you
hang
think,
in there.
What do you think would have been helpful for somebody to say? Like, what do you think when someone reaches out in a desperate place, what do you think the best approach for them to take is? You know what I mean?
I think to just honestly just listen to them and make like sometimes it's like you go to people and they're just like, get over it. I mean, just get over it. That's like such a shitty thing to say to someone. And I think the best thing to do is just to listen to them, make their feelings are valid. Like they, you know what I mean? People shouldn't feel invalidated and just remind them of the fun movies that are coming out next year, and they don't want to miss that.
Yeah, that is always a part of like I'm like, well, I want to see what apps.
Did you did you work for the hotline? That sounds like something.
No, but it's, I mean, it's
they
a
might have said to me.
What do you think?
You know what movie's coming out next year?
Wait around for Deadpool 2. That's good.
Well, what do you think would have helped, Chris? Like looking back,
I think it was a weird time in my life because I was just very depressed. I started rapping at some point.
This explains it all.
Yeah, I started
you
rapping.
Have to
this
start
was like
rapping now.
This was like before I started seriously doing stand up and before I got my cat. And
well,
I
well, look, you brought this upon yourself.
Yeah,
Jimmy, bust a beat. Let's do this.
No, I mean it was pretty bad. I mean it was like I didn't have a lot going on, which is like I don't want to say that's the reason that anybody is thinking that way, but it's like when you don't have a lot going on and when you have codependency problems and when you're by yourself a lot and the internet is kind of your only that's your connection to the outside world, the internet can be extremely toxic, especially if you're like trying to interact with people and you just get like an internet response, which is like can be sarcastic or dismissive or something, and that's not a support network,
right?
Like you can find support through the internet, but it shouldn't be your main like support line.
Yeah, it is weird how people act differently on the internet.
They do.
Than they would in real life.
Yeah.
But
because it's a screen, it's not a person, so you don't you don't take any emotional consideration.
Right.
Which is why there's like been a whole thing about like, you know, cyberbullying and people I mean, there have been people that have committed suicide based off of internet comments that they've received, like teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't imagine that when I, you know, if I was a teenager going through that.
Yeah.
So what do you think helped you get out of this, the whole funk?
I think when I...
Besides bowling.
Bowling was a big part of it. I think I got to a point, it took a lot of self-reflection. And I think I got to a point where I was like, After I don't know if survived is the right word, but after it was a failed attempt,
right?
I think it was
let's
like
let's put a negative spin on it.
Well, because that's so
you're not a survivor, you're a failed attempt.
Because I don't want it. Because
no, I hear you.
I don't want to have to try to give it more gravity than it has.
I hear you.
But it's like after that, that's definitely rock bottom, right? Emotionally for anybody, is that because you're like, all right, I'm done, I'm out. So I think after that, it kind of was like, all right. Well, let me try some things, right? Let me try some.
Is that when you got into stand up?
I mean, I had dabbled in it a little bit, I think, before then.
Right.
But then, I think that's when I was. What was kind of like, well, you know, I'm here. Let's see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of things started happening for me, but it took a long time to pull myself out of that. I think it took like another relationship ending for me to really, really kind of be self-reflective and really get to the root of like why I felt that way and all the issues that I had that I wasn't addressing. And it really, I never really went to therapy. That's another thing is like, if
that would have helped a lot.
Yeah, that would have helped. Yeah. That would have been tremendous. Yes. That would have shaved years of just turmoil. Yeah.
Everyone should be in therapy. Even if you're therapy. Not, like, therapy is so good.
Well, we have this.
Look how dysfunctional we are.
Yeah. No, but I think if I would have done any kind of therapy, it definitely would have saved years of, you know.
Really?
It's faster than doing it yourself.
You think I should get into therapy?
The fact that you did do it by yourself, that's pretty awesome.
But it took a long time. It took a long time for me to...
Some people aren't even... Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And it's never...
I scream at everyone now.
And it's never like those thoughts just go away completely when you get out of it. Yeah. Because it's... I mean, there are times even now where... You know, I can start getting the. It's a series of thoughts. It doesn't just happen like, oh, I should kill myself. Like, it's a series that kind of leads up to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no fixing people. You just learn how to deal with it and how to mentally.
You can feel it. You can feel it happening, and then you can kind of acknowledge it, and then.
Yeah, man.
Because just a thought, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just thoughts, let them pass through. Yeah. That's the one thing that doctors always tell
That's
me with anxiety.
That's what I'm bad with, is one creeps in and I entertain
it. You just harp
it.
On it. You just. Yeah. Sink those chains into it and hold it.
If you keep
going,
you can...
with it. I show it one of my raps that I've been working on. Next thing you know, I'm going back to my
Yeah, that's
Scout
when I
should
have known I was in trouble when I was like I'm gonna make a mixtape.
Right. That is a bad sign.
Yeah.
They probably asked you that on the suicide hotline.
Yeah.
But
I didn't tell them about my rapping. They probably would have been like, "Oh my god, we need to stay on the line with this guy."
Well, but in all seriousness, I'm glad you survived it. Yes. You're a great dude. You've been
a great
influence and a great friend to a lot of people around Baltimore, and you are the shit. So don't kill yourself.
No, I'm glad
and
it didn't.
Thanks for sharing it with us.
Yeah, I'm glad it didn't it wasn't successful because I wouldn't have been able to. I've done some
Wouldn't be able to do confessional.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be here on this on this podcast.
Yeah.
I've also done some really cool things and
and
met some like amazing people that like gave me different perspectives on myself and other people. And I've done a lot of mushrooms.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to.
That
do
definitely
if you died.
Can change because like they've done studies about how that helps people with depression and PTSD. And
really?
I think. Yeah, and I think it does.
It opens your mind up more.
Yeah.
You do like
I had a bad experience on mushrooms when I was younger, before I got sober.
Yeah. Mm.
But I had good ones before that. I think
I've never done anything
time.
Like that. It terrified
I think
me.
If you do it after your...
I have bad anxiety, so I feel like it would just...
I think if you do it after your brain is fully developed, that's best.
What is that, 25, they say?
Yeah, like 25-ish.
Okay.
So I'm like just zeroing in.
Almost
on
time,
right
baby.
Almost.
So almost mature.
25th birthday, you're going to get a whole little baggie. And
I've been 25. I'm turning 26.
I feel like that's the...
Yeah.
That's when your brain really kicks in.
That's when you start going downhill.
25 is like the end of being young, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's all relative. Yeah. Now 26 looks like you're a baby to me.
I got one more month.
Yeah, I think when you're in your when you're like 15, 16, when you start getting... into a teenager to all the way almost to like 25, 26, you're just in danger emotionally because your brain is not fully developed and you can't think that far ahead and you don't have the equipment to deal sometimes with emotional things that come up.
Yeah.
And if you don't have anybody to talk to, it just festers and just keeps going.
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's dangerous. That's why, you know.
That's why when you make bad decisions when you're young, like it's... Most people, it's like, it's fine, I'll just drink it away, I'll smoke it away, I'll do whatever. But then as you get older, that's when the repercussions really happen. Because you are now like, fuck, I didn't take care of that.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready for another really dark one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this the anonymous one?
Is it another TMZ?
Okay.
From Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I don't believe TMZ is involved at all, surprisingly. about 5 years ago, my ex and I were going through a divorce because I found out she had slept with my business partner. Obviously, that was a mess and ended... with divorce, selling my business, and more than a few murder fantasies. To make things worse, it put into question whether or not our child was mine. So I had to go through a paternity test. We did the expensive kind that holds up in court, so I wouldn't have to do it twice. I had already moved out, but I had the kid a few times a week while my ex was at work. On a day that I had my kid, the kid, I found out the results, and it was not mine.
I'll say the kid kind of gave that...
There was a brief moment where everything from drowning the child in the bathtub to dropping the child outside the door of my ex's job with a note, putting it in the car and driving us off a bridge. I'm not sure how that sentence was structured, but I guess
we get the gist.
Saying yeah. Fortunately, it was half a minute long, and I spent the rest of the afternoon just silently holding it and staring into space. I don't know why he keeps calling the child it, but. But for a few minutes, shit got
he's
dark.
Probably a little mad.
For fuck's sake, it was just an innocent kid. But in that second, there was a symbol of being completely betrayed by the two people I trusted most. Told my ex when she picked the kid up that she'd need to find a sitter, moved across the country a few weeks later, and haven't seen either since.
I think he made the right move
of
not killing the child and moving super far away and just...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, that is a pretty dark thought to have. He admits it was just for like half a minute. But I can understand that. I mean, he didn't act on it. You know, I think when we are in those horrible,
yeah, as long as you don't act on it,
perfect storm of terrible thing happening mm-hmm. moments, we can have thoughts like that. You know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that's pretty
especially betrayal.
Honest to that person
and,
to admit.
Ugh.
Well, mm-hmm. also, it seems like it, like that option seems like it would offer it offers relief to your situation because you're like, what do I do in this situation? How can I deal with this?
Uh-huh.
It just seems like an easy out.
And it would hurt both of them.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. It's I could definitely see having thoughts that extreme in a moment like that.
I'm glad
you know?
He didn't act on it though. Mm-hmm.
And I respect that they could be honest about that and you know.
The part where they say they did a paternity test in court so it would hold up like an official one.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean when you do it on Mari it's not official?
I don't know how that works.
Does that mean it's Is that just a TV paternity test?
I don't know why you're asking me Maury questions as though I'm an expert on...
I mean, I figured you would know, Mike.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's an extremely brutal confession that guy just did.
It's very brutal.
Yeah.
I can imagine that's... Now, thank God the kid wasn't older. Because I always thought about that. Like, what happens when you've raised a kid for like 5-6 years and then you find out it's not yours? Mm. I'm following his method of calling children it from now on also.
Right.
That's a new thing I'm doing.
I have a feeling you would develop such a bond with them at that point that you probably want to.
But then there's like such this like resentment, the fact that you're looking at this kid.
Right.
And that kid is like a living manifestation of your wife and your business partner screwing you over.
But what does that have to do with the kid? I mean.
I don't know. He's the one who wanted to kill him. I was just saying, dude, you know, get out of town.
I don't know. I feel like. That young, you can probably break yourself off before getting too attached. But, like, I don't know. If I found out a kid wasn't mine, like, years and years later, I think I'd probably be like, all right, well, fuck the parents, but I'm going to do the right thing with the kid. Unlike Jimmy, apparently.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't say what I would do.
That's what happened to my friend, the drug addict. I don't know if I've ever talked about her before.
Mm-hmm.
She got pregnant because she was a working girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she was with her boyfriend at the time, and he knew they were, like, heroin addicts. And she was like, listen, like, I'm pregnant. It might not be yours, but do you want to have a baby and maybe get sober? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm all about it.
Mm-hmm.
She gave birth, and the baby obviously was not his.
Mm-hmm.
And he pretended it was, and then it just caused this big, awful thing.
Right.
And eventually destroyed them, and they are no longer together.
Mm. Yeah.
But the guy who impregnated her, because the baby was a different color than both of them, so she knew immediately whose it was. She was like, I know exactly who this is. Yeah.
That's a rough one.
It was bad.
That's rough.
And
can you even tell that before the child's born? Do you have to wait till like delivery day to tell what race they are?
I mean, if you have money, maybe they can do one of those like little needle in the... I don't know. DNA?
They could probably check the penis size, too.
I don't know. I'm sure. But it was very obvious. And he tried, but he became so resentful. And she became resentful that he even made her keep the baby because they're not together. And we're no longer friends because she's dealing with a lot. This happened.
Sure.
The baby's only like 2. So it happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just dealing with a
lot. Did she stay sober?
She smokes and grows a lot of weed, which I disagreed with because she'd have random people coming over with a baby in the house. We disagreed on a lot. But she doesn't do heroin, but she does all the drugs that get you off of heroin. But she's been doing it for so long that it's kind of like, all right, when are you actually going to stop?
Yeah, so. I've known a lot of people like that. I have to stay on methadone for years and years.
Yeah.
Supposedly methadone is the hardest drug to get to kick
it's,
physically.
As soon as you do heroin and then you start trying to come down from it, it's a really long, tough road and not a lot of people can.
Well, the baby was born in a NICU and addicted to heroin for like 6 weeks. It was rough. Like,
wow. Do they have to like give it a little bit of heroin to wean it off?
Yeah, they had to like IVs and stuff, I think. She was like the front page of the cover of like I think the Baltimore Sun and the Carroll County Times because of her story. Yeah.
Damn. Oh my God.
Yeah. Pretty rough.
Has she tried to like make it a positive? Like I overcame.
Honestly, no. She now lives with this 50-year-old dude who she doesn't do anything. They just literally grow weed and he controls everything she does and he's really abusive and he forced me out of the picture because I was trying to get her to do the right thing, and he did not like that. Mm-hmm. He thought I was trying to break them up, which I was. Mm.
Does she see it as a positive, though? Like, oh, I overcame this thing.
No, she, in her mind, it's this rich guy that's going to die pretty soon that I can get all of his money in
his
house.
How old is he?
He's like 56, but he has like really bad diabetes that she's just like banking on. It's a bad situation.
Wow.
Like, her dad has literally been like, come and live with me. I'll pay for you to go back to school.
Right.
I'll watch your daughter for you.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, no, I can't smoke weed there. So, no.
Wow.
So they live in this horrible, dysfunctional place, and I couldn't be a part of it anymore. Mm-hmm. I couldn't watch them fuck up this little girl's life.
So what's her angle? Is she just trying to fast track his diabetes?
I think she's the kind of person that she
makes
likes
huge
being
dinners every night.
This is sugar free.
No, she likes being taken care of. Uh-huh. She's one of those girls where she has always relied on men.
Mm-hmm.
She has always had different boyfriends to take care of her needs. She's never lived on her own. She's never had a real job. She's always just been like, this boy gives me this and this boy gives me this. So that's what she's doing. She likes the fact that she can sit around all day, smoke weed, hang out with her daughter, and live in this McMansion bullshit and not do anything with her life.
McMansion? Yeah. She's in a mansion?
Not really, but it's like a huge townhouse. Like a ridiculous townhouse.
You know what a McMansion is, Chris? Like out in the county, those gigantic homes that look like they'd fall over.
It's like that, but like a townhouse version, but it's got all these like angles and weird little crevices that you're like, what are you doing? You
Why does that automatically make a house like more expensive if it has like various levels and like
weird little like designs like where it's just like a point randomly where you don't even...
You know, I always think about that like... With a house or a car or something, there's little things that just make it look more expensive, like the shape or whatever. And I'm like, why don't they just make really cheap cars like look like a Viper or something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just make it super cheap, but like, it wouldn't cost more to mold the metal a different way. You know?
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Like, why not do that with houses and stuff? You know, just like add a bunch of weird levels and shit. Like. All right.
Back to the confession.
All right. We got one more confession to read here.
What about yours? Do you have any?
We have one more confession to read here.
All right.
Now, I mean, I have a lot. The one that I confessed on this one.
Okay.
When in the writing phase of it was I confessed to murdering, to thinking of fantasizing about murdering kids in high school, basically.
As an adult?
Like, No. Not going to.
Why would you go back and do that?
No, when I was in high school.
So you would be one of those awful people?
I mean, I wasn't seriously considering it, but I had fantasies of like doing... I remember there was this kid who was like always making fun of the Jewish kids, and I had a fantasy of carving a Star of David onto his forehead.
Ooh.
So that's kind of what happened in Glorious Bastards.
Yeah, exactly. I was doing it first in my fantasies.
Quentin Tarantino took that from you.
I know. God. Everybody cheered when Brad Pitt did it, but you guys are looking at me like there's something seriously wrong.
I feel like in the early 2000s, there was a lot in, especially like when like nu metal started becoming a thing. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of songs and bands that were like kind of zeroing in on you're in like middle or high school when people are picking on you.
Yeah.
What if they could just all just disappear? What if they all just like
don't?
Like there was a lot of music like that because I remember because I listened to that music, but I never like. Was like, I'm going to do it, but it was like, yeah.
It's a fantasy thing.
Yeah. But there was a lot of music and pop culture that was like geared towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the, like not, it doesn't exist now, obviously, because people would freak out and be
really?
Like.
You're saying it's like a relic of the past where it's like, oh, they could never do that today.
I feel like there was a time where it was really popular.
Like Papa Roach and stuff?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Mutilation out of sight.
Stuff like that, mutilation. Yeah, and.
I feel like the bands before that era kind of did the same thing, but it was more.
Touched on it.
It was more poetic and cryptic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, seriously, like Nine Inch Nails or like Nirvana would kind of like write about that type of stuff, but it wasn't
like
so literal.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't so like. And I'm contemplating suicide.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I like how they had to like have these like kind of white boy existential issues.
There was a lot of
hip hop swagger, you know.
There was a lot of songs. There were a lot of songs about suicide and like just hurting.
Right.
I also hurt like hurting other people in like metal, like new metal and kind of rock-ish stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was something that Was it like around the same time as Columbine too, I think?
Columbine was like late 90s.
That was late 90s, 99. But so that was around the
new
time.
New metal was getting popular around
when
then.
When it started
Korn
getting.
Korn was like finally. Yeah. Now I liked Korn before they were popular.
Or like, so. Or like, you know, Limp Bizkit. Right. With, you know,
that was like the year.
He's making a new movie.
Sure.
You know.
What's that?
Fred Durst is directing a movie that actually looks kind of good.
Oh, yeah. With like John Travolta.
John Travolta and a horrible like... I don't know what is happening on his head. And I think Devin Sawa's in it, and I loved Devin Sawa.
Well, if it's anything like the Roland video, I think we're going to be in for a real treat.
You know, Kayla, I think you should be an operator because you'd be like, you know, Fred Durst is going to be out. He's directing a movie.
He's directing a movie now. You have to stay
and
alive for it.
It's going
to
come out. And you get if you know anything about him.
That really is kind of a good point, though, that I do feel like that is kind of what keeps me alive sometimes. Is like
all the things coming out.
Like sequels. And like, yeah. There's just like cool stuff being made all the time.
There's going to for like, sure be like three more Star Wars movies in the next few years.
That's kind of pushing me in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
All right. But this new Halloween I'm excited about. Yeah. I'm excited about the remake of Nosferatu by the guy who did The Witch.
Is it going to be in black and white like the other one?
I don't know.
It will?
I don't know.
Those are two movies I'm very excited about. Halloween, they're remakes, so they're not like doing a sequel. They are remaking Halloween.
No. I'm pretty sure it's a sequel to the first one.
It's like super because I don't want to ruin it for you, but Jamie Lee Curtis is a lot older, and she's like, I'm getting stuff. Someone's coming. We gotta kill him. Like she's all about like killing the fuck out of him. So I think it's super, super far.
Yeah,
in the future,
it's supposed to be like a new part two, right? Like it cuts off after part one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she's a lot older and she's a badass.
You're not spoiling anything by saying that she's older.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second.
It'd be weird if she's younger.
She's younger. She's a fetus now.
Well, there's so many movies in that like series though, Halloween.
Yeah.
I think it ignores a lot of them.
That's one of the most rebooted and like every few ones
Texas
they
Chainsaw
kind
Massacre
of
too, right?
Reboot
they mean like 80
and
of them?
Dismiss God. The Yeah, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like not only is there a series of sequels, but every now and then they like they cut off some of the other sequels and go back to like this is just part one happened, you know.
And sometimes they combine
very
them
much looking forward.
Yeah,
beautiful
it's weird.
Treasures like,
well, it's like with
Freddy
Halloween
versus Jason.
There's the first sequel, and then the third one like was supposed to take place in a world where Halloween was a movie, right? And it didn't even have Michael Myers in it.
Bullshit.
I feel like that's our world.
Yeah, they tried to do like a different world kind of Halloween story. And then the fourth one, they brought him back. And then they had like the 80s series for a while. Then they stopped it again and started it over with H2O, which brought back Jamie Lee Curtis. And that was supposed to like dismiss the other sequels. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's only very few people are going to find this interesting. All
right, we have one more left.
We have one more confession. And then we want to hear from you, too.
Oh, God.
Ooh. Let us see here. We have one from Illinois, also anonymous. I befriended a girl that was in a band with my then-fiancé. They dated when they were in high school and stayed friends afterwards. She had a lot of issues with anxiety and depression and trying to be a good partner. To my anxiety, I would hang out with her. To my fiancé, I would hang out with her and counsel her through hard times. He later cheated on me with her, which I felt was a betrayal from both of them. When I found out, I literally went into a blind fit of rage, blacked out, and when I woke up, he was sitting in front of me with a broken nose, face bloodied, holding his broken glasses in his hands. From that point on, I had a recurring dream of attacking her and smashing her face to pulp with a brick. That was years ago, but I would still relish the chance to beat the hell out of that twat.
I like her. She sounds fun.
Yeah.
She's cool.
Yeah. Now, when she says dream, like, do you think that means like a dream
like
at night, or
and
like
dream at night all the time,
or like Martin Luther King type of dreams?
I think it's like fantasies, and when she dreams at night, she has a dream of it.
Right. Okay.
Good for her, though.
Yeah, I think that's warranted.
Sometimes we all just want to beat the shit out of people who have cheated.
Well, she
on
did.
Us.
She beat her boyfriend.
Good.
And she fantasized about.
That's probably
her
bad.
Boyfriend.
I'm probably gonna get hate for that, but I don't care. Good.
Face to pulp is a little disturbing. I don't like hearing the word pulp number one, in regards to people's flesh. Kayla seems to be okay with it while the rest
because
of us are
because
like,
it does a lot. That story is a lot of my like awful mindset, so I can.
Yeah. Do you guys get like? I don't really get like violently. Like I get resentful at people these days, but I don't have like the urge to like beat the crap out of somebody.
I don't
so
anymore.
Much.
I used to.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have like fake fights in your head, like just imagining situations.
Not really. I mean, I have like fake fights in that, like, you know, if I'm in a restaurant and I imagine a bunch of terrorists like rush in, how I'm gonna like do a bunch of cool moves with like the kitchen equipment, and the mop and stuff.
Like throw some salt in their face.
Yeah, yeah.
Sixth grader.
But no, I don't like if I get resentful at somebody, I don't like I don't feel like I'm gonna go punch him in the face or anything.
Well, it's crazy how so many of these like darkest thought like murder fantasies have to do with relationships.
Sure.
It's like all relationships, marriages, somebody had a kid that wasn't
love
theirs.
Sucks.
It drives
the
people
worst.
Yeah, it makes sane people crazy.
It does.
Because love and hate are just right
that
there.
That in the internet.
It's just strong emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird. I remember I was really like we were talking about earlier, like I couldn't believe how powerful that was when I was younger when I started like getting into relationships and stuff. Like
Yeah.
You know. But Jimmy, do you have anything you want to confess?
Actually, I don't really have anything that I think is of any entertainment value.
I know, but do you have anything you want to confess?
I can't off the top of my head. I wasn't aware.
He doesn't seem like an angry person.
I'm not a super.
You must
angry
have
guy.
Had some dark thoughts at some point.
I've had dark thoughts, but I can't like pinpoint anything specific at this very moment.
Okay.
I'm also, you know, very hungover.
Yeah, you are.
So like, you know, I'm trying to find these things in my head. My mind just like you should drink more.
Well,
coffee.
Well, did you always have a kind of like a group of friends or like a support group you could talk to if you had any kind of issues?
Because
I'm sure you went through stuff when you were.
Oh
younger.
Yeah, absolutely. My friends. You know, I think that's typical of guy relationships in general is like we just freaking just ragged on each other constantly. Mm.
That's part of what getting older is good about is like you can be a little bit more honest about your emotions and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Can't really talk about your feelings when you're a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah. I mean, like you know, I was kind of dating this girl like in my early 20s. Bless you.
Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you. You don't have to stop every time I'm sneezing.
Pause. You know, I was also friends with this dude, and they wound up hanging out one night and, like, hooking up. And, like, I was really mad about it.
Uh-huh.
But then all my friends would just be like, yeah, dude, Zach, just fucking blah, blah, blah.
Right, it becomes like yeah. a funny thing.
It, like it never wasn't a funny thing.
Right.
Just from the moment it happened, it was just a funny thing.
Yeah.
And, like, it kind of, like, it. I was always, like, the one that everybody ragged on in my friend group. But at the same time, like, I didn't mind it. I enjoyed, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you have a sense of humor about yourself.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, it was.
They kind of took the power of that situation away from it being like a burden on you to like, ah, man, yeah, that sucks. That happens, man. That's she's such a
Yeah. Exactly.
I will tell you though, there's nothing worse than like when something feels horrible to you, but you can't quite articulate it in a way that makes sense to other people. You know, where it's like. On paper, this doesn't sound that bad, but you got to just trust me that it's like destroying me right now, you know?
Yeah.
That's the worst. Kayla, you kind of touched on.
Mine's a long one.
Okay. So well, give us a gist. Gist us.
I had my, you know, big relationship. It was this guy I've been off and on with for 6 years. And I had a friend that I was friends with a long time ago, but she was a really shitty friend. She was one of those girls that would flirt with the guy that you liked or your boyfriend because it made her feel good to like take other people's boyfriends. She cheated on everybody. She was the worst. But she was really fun to party with. That's all that mattered when you were like 21.
Right.
And when I dated that guy, she asked me about him, like, what's his name? What's this? Well, fast forward like 2 years and on one of our like get back together things, he told me that he had sex with her, that he didn't know who she was because we were friends for so long, but she went out of her way.
While you were with him? Or?
We had broken up like a week.
Okay. This wasn't really his fault. This was her.
No, this was her. She did it deliberately because she did this to everyone. I was devastated.
Right.
Because this guy had already put me through so much. Mm-hmm. Like, we should have broken up a long time ago. We were broken up for like 2 years now. But
were you pissed that he told you? Like, did you think
no,
he did that to
be mean? No, I was happy that he told me, but I was furious at her.
Right.
And for the next, like, 2 months. It was when I met you, like when we met. I was in a really dark place. I was having awful visions and dreams of just beating the fuck out of these people.
Wow.
Mostly her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just bad. I was in a really bad place because this was like the love of my life and she knew it and she did it deliberately. And I just felt so betrayed by both of these people. But the universe was on my side because I don't want to blow both these people out of the water, but she got herpes. And I was very excited about that.
Sure. And, hey, yeah,
it
did she
life.
Make a Facebook status about it? And you were like, love.
No, but,
one heart amongst a sea of sad faces.
Just
actually,
sad for you.
Like, I've had the capability of a lot of the people that have fucked me over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the universe. I don't know who it is doing it. But I've had retribution and revenge just handed on.
Yeah,
plate,
I feel like that does kind of
great.
Happen.
But it always fucks you. Like,
but
with,
you can't rely on it. You
well,
know,
this
like,
girl,
it doesn't always
she had
happen.
A fiance that she had been dating for 5 years. Mm-hmm. It was great. Woo. He just popped into my life and we ended up dating. And
oh,
I ended up...
Wow.
She was like off and on with him, and I ended up telling him everything she's ever done.
Right.
And he got rid of everything with her, was done with her, like canceled like phone plans,
oh my God.
Ruined her life.
Wow.
And then he's the one that told me that she got herpes.
That's
wow.
fucking
And I told
sick.
Everybody.
Wow.
Because I'm a cunt. But
wow. See, that's the thing that I was talking about the other time is like, should I try to get revenge on people
it
like
always
that? Because it is
you
kind
in
of
the end,
satisfying.
And it's childish
right.
and you feel stupid. You like, I did this when I was
What do you
like
think
25.
The ideal thing for you to have done would have been if you could do it again?
I don't know, because I feel like revenge is so fantastic and it makes you feel so good.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just ignore shit when people do fucked up shit
right.
that you're just like, I'm the one who has to live with this when
yeah.
you're the one who fucked me.
Right.
You know. But I think the best is to just ignore it. You know, mm-hmm. have violent images, talk to your friends about it, mm-hmm. smoke a lot of weed, drink a lot, do whatever, but don't confront the person, mm-hmm. don't add drama, don't try to get back at them, because it ends up hurting you in the end.
Yeah, yeah. And just let the universe take its course. Yeah. Like, people that are like that...
Yeah, she's got herpes, so...
Yeah, that's yeah, God. Yeah. That's God.
Yeah.
It is kind of weird. That seems God. To be a very common type of, like, I don't want to say female, but, like, I will... but like there seems to be a lot of women, and I guess I don't notice this as much with dudes, but like that like get off on the idea of like stealing somebody else's boyfriend or something
yeah,
like
totally.
That.
Because women
like,
are always kind of taught from birth to compete with other women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you look in magazines, who wore it better? Who did this? Like women are always competing against mm-hmm. each other, even if we don't want to. And the more that women work together and you're friends with them, there's no competition. Women are great.
Yeah,
like,
I feel
there's
like
no
even,
need to do that.
I've even noticed that with women that I know are not in any way attracted to me, and like I'm not like harboring some like, oh, they're totally competing for me.
Yeah.
But it seems like there is a thing that happens where like it feels like they're in competition.
And if the man cheats, the woman gets mad at the girl and keeps the man.
Right,
you know what
yeah,
I mean? It's like stuff
yeah.
like that that you're just like, well,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we did only like keep you in pretty much bondage for like all of human history until like a couple of weeks ago. So
a couple weeks ago.
Thank
residual
you.
Effects of,
thank you for being so kind.
The way men have treated women.
The other thing forever. I was thinking about that story is that sex is kind of a weird thing because like, as you get older, it kind of becomes like less and less of a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like I remember, like when I was in my teen years and like early 20s, like sex was kind of a big deal.
Oh yeah, sure.
Like the first time I had sex, I got done. I was like, that was it. The whole time I was all worried about that shit. And then like as you get older, it just gradually becomes like nothing to the point where it's just like, all right, well this is just another option of things I can do as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
I can get something to eat at Subway. I can have sex. But like. But like
Subway
gets
a huge
suggestion for
Subway's getting a huge shout out on.
But like it's the casualness of it is strange because then on the flip side of that coin, you find out somebody that you actually are emotionally invested in mm-hmm. had sex with like a friend of yours and something. All of a sudden, sex is like the biggest deal in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's weird because yeah. like all it's like it's I don't know. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's like you
yeah,
find out somebody
does.
Close to you
right.
and it's like.
It does. If you bring an emotional component into it, it definitely
yeah.
complicates
yeah.
things. Because yeah. you can have sex with somebody and there's no emotional component. Where
yeah.
it's like you're not attached to that person.
Like the idea of like your friend and your ex-boyfriend having sex has got to be like a really painful like image that I'm forcing you to imagine right now.
Oh, it's fine now.
In fact, we're
going to
draw a graph if you don't mind.
No, me and him are actually like really cool now.
Yeah.
Like we,
yeah.
he's... the worst and such a shitty boyfriend, but he
right.
is a decent guy and you know
mm-hmm.
he's just an idiot. He didn't do anything deliberately, but she did
right.
because she did that to all of my friends. She was always that girl that was like, fuck that bitch, I took her man. It's
mm-hmm.
like oh
my God,
proud of yourself, aren't you?
That's the
but
worst.
That was also when we were like 21, 22.
Sure.
So I
yeah,
feel like
we
everyone was a shithead
stuff.
Back then
yeah.
but
well. But it's also like it's not even like as from the dude's perspective, it's like he especially if he didn't know she was your friend, Like, he's just getting late, you know, yeah. to her. Like, that's the thing that I think about women like that. It's like, it's not like what you're doing is very easy. Like, you're a chick. Chances are, yeah, you probably could bang that dude if you wanted to. You know, it's not that difficult. But I guess that's what
I
makes
just don't
feel
know
whole.
Why sometimes people do that. Like, I hadn't been friends with her in years. Like,
I don't know.
It's like weird stuff when people do things deliberately to other people, and you don't want to. And that's why I'm so fucked up, because I constantly have like a 6 foot like metal fucking wall in front of me, and I'm really bitchy to people when I first meet them because I don't like the vulnerability. I don't like that you can be friends and in love with someone and they'll just fuck you over no matter what. And you're
totally
just like,
100% relate.
Like years down the road, even. And I don't want to be like that because I don't think everyone's like that. But
I honestly think I've gotten more like that in the last few years. Like,
it's a lonely place.
It sucks. You learn a lesson out of every bad situation, but it sucks when the lesson is people are shitty and you should be more guarded and not be
But if you say that, like if you were to raise a kid and be like, everyone sucks, don't trust anyone, it's such a negative place. But
yeah.
If that's what you've grown up with, that's self-preservation.
I mean, I really don't think everyone sucks. I've met a ton of beautiful
people.
No,
there are
people
that are better more than there are people that are bad. But the people that are bad are louder and more
exactly.
Yeah.
Noticeable. And my shitty brain likes to put the spotlight on them instead of all the good people in my life.
And sometimes even the shittier people, I think, are the most interesting. Like the people who are the most damaged, who have been through things that make them shitty people. That's maybe why I gravitate towards some people that I know are shitty, but they're just interesting or funny or... you know, so.
And that's.
That's my opinion about it.
What do you think, Chris?
I think it's definitely, I think it's tough because it's definitely a risk to open yourself up to be vulnerable to another person, either like emotionally or physically, because it can backfire. And when it does, it's very, it's extremely painful.
And you feel stupid.
Yeah.
Yep.
But every now and then it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful, but you have to be able to kind of take that risk with people sometimes, because if you're just always guarded, you're not, you're never going to experience anything.
Right.
I have two friends.
But it's like it's tough to do that if you keep running into situations where people take advantage of that. Sometimes if you're vulnerable with somebody, they'll see that and they'll be like, oh, I can manipulate this
person. Yeah, there's takers that are attracted to givers.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's the way of putting it.
And that's just one man's opinion. All right, guys. Well, this has been really great. Thank you so much, Chris. We really appreciate you being vulnerable and honest with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And I trust that you will not manipulate me because of this.
We'll see. We shall see. Any closing thoughts, anybody?
No.
Let's go out on that. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks.